Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
What a week.
Well, Julia, people really loved our chat with Dan Wilson yesterday. Just we got so many nice notes.
It was so, we were on such a high ground. I'm sorry you weren't here with
us.
It was such a highlight.
Bummer.
Here's some of the comments we got just on Instagram. Fantastic interview. I'm listening from Cozumel. Trip Shakespeare played at one of my high school dances. Love him. Huge fan. You both were giddy.
We were.
Awesome. Closing time will always remind me of my college days. I still have their an album on vinyl. I wish you girls were excited. Are you sure you want to retire?
Oh, geez.
Love the interview with Dan. His voice is like sexy butter. Just, you know, he does
Someone
have a great...
else said that.
So about his smooth.
Listening to him on the air just sounded like, wow. And he was everything.
We got an email from Chris. And she writes, hopped in my car to go drop off my tax paperwork to my tax guy. I'm a self-employed child care provider who hates paperwork. So I've been stressed. And there you two were interviewing the one and only Dan Wilson. What a treat. You took a break and came back with closing time. And I teared up while driving. Aww. My brother Billy used to manage the 400 bar.
Oh, wow.
The story goes that although the song has dual meaning, Dan was most familiar with the line, "You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here," as one of the lines Billy would deliver to patrons at the end of the night.
I love that. Yes.
Wow. Before you have your own closing time at my talk, I want to thank you for always talking up First Avenue, the Palace, the Turf Club, their extended family to me and my sibs, as Billy worked at First Avenue as a runner for the bands up until his death. I think he died in 2013. Oh. And her brother, Conrad, is the stage manager for First Avenue.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
So she always likes hearing our reminders and recounts of the shows there. She hopes we can go see more shows when we're not working anymore. And you will be missed, but completely understood. So love, Chris, Billy, and Conrad's little sister. So that's really sweet. And speaking of retirement, I'm on the phone with my girlfriend Paula. You know, I'll tell you one.
She's in New York.
She's in New York City, and there's one invitation harder than a cabin invitation, and that's the beach house on Fire Island because very popular. Lots of people.
I feel like last time we had lunch, she might have extended it to maybe me, like only if you're.
Well, because I was going already for the weekend, but it's always busy and they co-own with another family. So finally I was like hitting my dates because I'm like, I got time. I got places.
Where am I going?
You know, but I'm talking to her and all of a sudden, holy bleep, there's an earthquake and they're up on the 12th floor. In their condo, and the whole building is shaking. And, you know,
they've never experienced that before, probably. Has she?
There's not been an earthquake in New York City. It was felt from New York, Philly, parts of Connecticut. The epicenter was in New Jersey. And it was a 4.8 magnitude. And she's like, I got to go. All my New York friends are calling me because they were all calling each other to say, did you feel that?
Right.
Did you feel that?
Right.
And right away, you know, I went to Twitter and of course, earthquake, you know, that still is where people go for like breaking.
Right. Breaking news.
That's how I found out that when my chair was shaking on the beach, that it was an earthquake before the lifeguard came on the megaphone and said, don't worry, there's no tsunami trigger, but was Twitter. And then my brother.
Yes.
That's why, because I wasn't sure what was happening underneath my chair.
I talked to my friend Maureen and two of her kids, my PA, if you remember
They're all
there. They're both in New York.
Yeah.
And they both felt it.
Yeah.
They all felt it. And here's kind of a story about someone who really felt it. His name is Justin Allen. He was getting a vasectomy.
Oh.
And he's getting a vasectomy that he had scheduled. They were right in the middle of the procedure.
Clipping the vas deferens.
Oh, you don't want to be shaking then, right?
And all of a sudden, he felt the whole room shake in the middle of it. The surgeon sort of froze. And all of us were confused, you know.
Don't believe what you're feeling.
Right, Alan thought it was a train going overhead or shaking by a train passing or something. And assumed it was a common occurrence. It was only when the doctor said something, he realized he might have been Mother Nature. The servant said, well, that that's got to be an earthquake. And the guy thought he's joking. And it was an experience none of them would forget when it was all over, because he, of course, paused during the shaking.
Goodness.
They just all started laughing. But then he posted it on Twitter, and it said, a blank earthquake happened in the middle of my vasectomy, and it's already got 3.2 million views and counting. And he said, most of the things were like, wow, but there were some dirty jokes and stuff. And he said, but basically, what we've gathered from this experience, my wife and I, is that it's clear and obvious we are not to have any more kids. Felt it. I've never felt it. I mean, I think that would be the scariest.
You don't really realize what happens, because it only lasts for 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds. You can't believe what you're feeling.
Right.
You know, this is going to be the talk of the weekend. Usually New Yorkers always talk about how long it took them to get to wherever they're meeting, train, Uber, whatever, walking. That's always the story. Yeah. But this is going to be the earthquake.
Did you feel the earth move?
Where were you when the earth?
Feet? Yeah. Right.
My friend Paula said one other time when her office was in the Chrysler Building, they had, a 3-something earthquake. Enough that the building was swaying.
Wow, swaying. Oh, that
right. We just heard from a listener, Connie, and she said her brother lives in New York, and he said it was a low rumble. It felt like the subway was rubbing underneath their building.
I know. And then there was just the one in Taiwan. The earth is rumbling underneath. It's rumbling in Hawaii.
It's got gas.
I just don't know.
It's got gas. Something is happening right now. What's happening in Hawaii?
Hawaii is constantly, there's tremblers. That's what they call them.
Tremblers.
Because of the active volcanoes. But the one that I was in, that was a 7.3.
Was it that big, Lori?
Yeah, but there's nothing. I mean, where the epicenter was on the big island over in here. There's no big, tall buildings.
There's no buildings to go down. It's just the earth moves under your feet. Yeah.
Something is shaking. But yeah, this will be the topic for all New Yorkers all weekend long.
Because,
of course, you know, the center of the universe is New York City.
Of course. Yeah, I don't even know that there's any other. We're in a suburb.
Right. The world is a suburb.
Exactly, of New York City. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a story that I want to plug my ears, but it needs to be told. We will be right back.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Lori and Julia Show. Since we've been on the air, our biggest fight, on the air has been about Brad and Angelina, I think.
I wonder if they're going to be divorced by the time we are off the air. That's only three more months.
Question. I know.
Yeah.
I know. We were so in love with this couple. First, we hated them.
You hated him.
I hated him because how it started. I adapted better
because people break up all the time.
Lori adapted better, and this is like in 2005. And then we loved them. They were such a pretty couple together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plane incident in 2016.
International Falls.
Yeah. And then I thought parent alienation on Brad's part. You thought Angelina has a case. And then I've been a Brad, and you've been Angelina. And now
we're back to our drawing. We're back to our sides.
Yes. But so today.
Julia, here's what's happening.
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, in 22 years, we've seen a lot of couples break up in Hollywood. The most pretentious was Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin because of her conscious uncoupling, blah, blah, blah. But this is probably the strangest one. Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher posting a picture of them in tennis clothes, writing, after a long tennis match lasting over 20 years, we're finally putting our rackets down. In 2023, we jointly filed to end our marriage. We want privacy.
They have two kids, a 9 and a 13-year-old.
That's funny. That is the weirdest.
Yeah. But they're odd. I mean, he is odd, and we were wondering, because we met her kind of first in the movies.
Yeah.
The woman with the scarf. I can't think of the movie.
Shopping.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Confessions of a Shopaholic.
Yes. I wonder what was in Chapter 23 that they are putting out this statement so quickly in Rebel Rising.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
People are,
do you think she talking. Just, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that the timing.
Because he was just.
3 days after that book comes out, and she names him, and in every interview is naming him and saying what an a-hole he was, and the worst professional experience of her life, the things he asked her to do on the movie set that she left and went along with. Just interesting timing.
I would say that's interesting timing.
Absolutely.
So another interesting timing, which is really not interesting timing, it's just how the court systems work, going back to Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. So legal documents have been obtained by media outlets everywhere. And Angelina, what we're finding out in these court documents is that in her deposition to the FBI when they investigated the physical
incident
that happened on the plane that the flight crew had to report, and that the ground crew at International Falls also called, I believe, Clean and Bradley with some juicy stuff about how wasted Brad was and all these other things.
Running around or driving that little luggage thing or something.
And then going around the side. Yeah. But it got shut down very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, Angelina filed for divorce.
Yes,
it was just boom, boom. So in these court documents that have come out, she says that the physical abuse started well before the 2016 plane incident. And basically what is going on, how we're finding out all this stuff, is that they are fighting over Chateau Miraval, which is the French vineyard that they bought together. They ended up getting married there. They had it for about 6 years before they
even got married, and they got married and they were done a year later.
Yeah. And Brad bought 60% of the vineyard. She bought 40%. And then when they got married, he wanted it to be a 50-50 thing, and he gave her 10%, and she had to just pay €1 for that.
Yes.
So she wanted to sell
her portion
back to him. He had the right of first refusal for that. He backed out of it because she said she wouldn't sign an NDA to never in the rest of her life ever
talk about
Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not going to buy it from you if you do that. And she's like, I'm begging you. This is all stuff in legal stuff back and forth. I want you to have it. We agreed. We wanted to leave the vineyard to the kids.
Right.
Buy this from me. And if you remember, he has sold off a lot of stuff.
Plan B, his production company.
Yeah. His big house in L.A.
Yeah. But he bought like the most expensive piece of property, like up by Big Sur.
Yeah.
Anyway, which is weird.
So anyway, all this stuff. Anyway, it turns out he has always made it sound like she turned around and sold Miraval to the Stoli group without talking to him. That is not true.
Right.
She gave Brad every opportunity, but she just was like, no. On
Brad
this.
Hates who ended up with it.
Yeah, but he could have bought it.
Yeah.
And he said the reason that he wouldn't buy it from her was he was afraid all these allegations she made would come out if she didn't sign an NDA. Well, now it's all out.
Anyway.
Because he didn't buy it. And his only legal standing is apparently, did she really write him a check or hand him in cash a one franc note? I mean, that is
the he should. Okay.
So he doesn't really have much of a legal thing.
But think of this really quick, Lori.
Yeah.
So when they met and when this all went down and they bought it, they were not producing Miraval Rosé wine.
No, this is a long time vineyard that's been making these rosés.
Oh, but I feel like since Brad and Angelina got into it.
They've elevated
the value big time.
But it was a recording studio. It is a 600-year-old vineyard that has been producing for all these years.
Oh, I didn't know it was producing.
It was
wine.
An existing operation.
Got
and
it.
They came up with some good marketing.
Yeah.
She tried to get him to even get out of it and that both of them sell it together because she didn't think with his drinking he should be involved with the vineyard. And so by refusing to buy her share of Miraval and then suing her, he put directly at issue why that NDA was so important to him because all this is coming out because he's suing her for selling it to a group, but she tried to sell it to him first.
He doesn't like who ended up with it. After he couldn't come
he
up
he could have
money.
Had it. Yeah. This is like the A-Rod thing with the Timberwolves to me. You buy it when you have the chance because I think he knows she's the mother of his children. She doesn't want these things to come out about him.
I agree with that, Lori.
You know?
I really do agree with that.
And he
it's
was...
It's taken me years to say that, people.
Oh, gosh.
But it doesn't sound... And it sounds
she
like there
was
abuse.
She brought back a broader NDA. You know, she's like, maybe one day we're both going to want to write a thing with our... She just made it be broader. But he was just like, no, nothing. Because he wants... Nothing to come up with that FBI report. He choked, I don't know which kid, probably the oldest.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Threw wine and beer at the kids and her. I mean, it was enough. It was bad enough that the flight crew had to report it to Child Protective Services. So nothing. And also punched a hole, you know, in the wall.
And I don't know what type of relationship he has with those kids, but for some reason... It's
only with the bio kids. That's those are
Shiloh,
the only ones.
Shiloh, Vivian, and the kid, the boy,
the girl. Yeah, the boy and the girl.
Yeah,
and then,
the twins. Yeah,
the three oldest don't talk to him. Anyway, Julia.
The three oldest. One already changed their name from Shiloh Pitt that they adopted. Vivian changed her name back to just.
Vivian is a.
Vivian.
From,
Vivian.
She's
yeah.
a biological child.
And she's.
Oh, the first girl though. I can't think of her name.
Zahara.
Zahara. Thank you, Lori.
Oh.
Anyway, these guys were, Lord.
This may not be resolved by the time we get off the air, but just know this, that
if
we'll probably
get
it.
We're going to get a call to come back on.
No, we're going to we're gonna get stories all weekend long about how happy he is with Inez or whatever his girlfriend
is. Together and could be happy.
Distraction, distraction, distraction. Yeah. Good call.
Thank you for that, Lori.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's
I hate hearing it.
Yeah, I hate, exactly.
But also, why didn't he buy it back?
I don't know.
What a dummy.
I don't know.
Thank you for that. Like you said, it's hard to hear, but great breakdown there, Lori, and I appreciate that.
Okay, everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Sweet Living Senior Care. They have 18 metro-wide communities. There's probably one that's even close to you. They've got higher levels of staff to resident ratios than you see anywhere else. And it's all on one level with only 32 suites that are gorgeous, new, and beautiful. Lori and I toured it a couple weeks ago.
No, we were in White Bear Lake, and then they're all over the Twin Cities.
But they offer assisted living, memory care, and hospice care. And it just, you know, you really, this is a big decision for families to send your loved ones to a place, and you would feel so good about having them live at Sweet Living Senior Care.
We're so impressed. And that's Sweet as in S-U-I-T-E. So when you go to the website to schedule a tour, it's Sweet Living Senior Care, all one word, .com. But you have to schedule a tour and see it for yourself. You'll feel very comfortable. We
absolutely
can guarantee that.
I mean, absolutely. It's just a great place. Call today and set up your tour.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Welcome back. We were going to have Linda Pearl on with us right now, but the concert has sold out at Crooner's. They've got a lot of good shows going on. Go check them out. And Pat,
Neil Justin had a great interview with Linda and Patrick Duffy, her boyfriend.
So did Jason last week. So yes. The big thing that we want to let you know is they have a sourdough bread line, Duffy's dough. Duffy's dough. Mm-hmm. And they're very proud of that. And 100% of the proceeds go back to help different charities. But we hope people who are going, you love it. You're going to have a great show. There was a really good article in the paper today about Kelly McGrath, who is the general manager of the Xcel Energy Center. John Bream interviewed her, and we've worked with Kelly for years. And
yeah, we have.
She listens to our show.
Yes.
But it's cool. She's a general manager, an executive director, and 250 full-time employees and 1,500 part-timers report to her.
Jeez.
But I was watching this Garth Brooks new show today, and it's the making of Friends in Low Places, this new bar that he and Miss Yearwood are building in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. I thought it already opened.
It may have opened.
I think it did.
But this is the building of it, so it starts with 409 days till we open or something.
Got it.
And I just think back to how much fun we would have at Garth Brooks concerts and some of our different country concerts. And John Bream asked Kelly at the X, who buys more beer? And
country or wood artist?
Yeah, pretty much, or a wild game. And she said country does pretty well. They sell a lot of Mick Golden Draft because it's an event, whereas the wild game could be on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
Right.
And then which genres sell the most merchandise at the X? Pop. Pop does well.
Yeah. Pop culture,
and Olivia Rodrigo's did really well because her audience was so young.
They couldn't drink.
They can't drink, so they spend all their money on merch.
And for many of them, it would be their first concert.
Right,
yeah.
So
of course you want to get something.
Exactly. And do you and the Target Center get along well? And she says, of course, we're all civil to each other, but yet we compete in our own way. But, you know, we're only 18 miles apart or something like that.
Yeah.
So 10 miles door to door.
That seems a lot less than it would be.
Yeah.
From Xcel to Target Center.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it would be more than 10 miles.
No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm not. I believe it.
It's like LA, 10 miles an hour.
And she said not many markets have similar size, you know, venues so close to each other.
Yeah, that's cool.
So that was just kind of fun. So shout out. She's a cool lady.
Yeah,
and
she is.
Just want to say that's a really good article.
I didn't know she got promoted to the big, big job, and I was emailing her to buy tickets.
Oh.
And she finally was like, yeah, I got promoted.
Uh-huh. Didn't we run into her at Pride?
Huh?
Didn't we run into her at Pride?
I didn't go.
No? Oh, Lori, I thought
last
you and
year?
I were there last
year.
I think you and I did, and that's when she kind of like told you that she got the...
Yeah.
Because
the
Wild were right next to us. They were doing something
funny.
With the Wild.
Okay.
So Lori ran into her, I think, and talked to her at Pride, I believe. I may be speaking out of turn.
Yes, because after Jorah left, and we'd worked with Jorah forever at the Xcel.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Just good things about her.
Yeah.
So Rebel Wilson, we were just talking about the Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher divorce. And Sasha
in a tennis post. I mean, it is kind of a stroke of brilliance. We've never really seen any tennis allegories about we're laying down our rackets after 20 years together.
It's kind of cute.
It's like they're retiring from their relationship instead of the sport.
I know. So she, in this new memoir that just came out, and
Rebel Rising, it's a great title.
Yeah. And it is not out in Australia because of the Sacha Baron Cohen situation in chapter, whatever you called it.
23.
And we don't know what it is, but we're getting so much from it. So in an interview that Rebel did with the New York Times, she actually shared her salaries. And so her very first salary that she ever got and first movie that she got in the U.S. was Bridesmaids. And for Bridesmaids, she, let's see, how much did she get paid? Like $3,500 for a small breakthrough role.
$3,500?
That's it? And she was...
And she said
she
it
was
did...
The, just
no,
in the
she wasn't...
Beginning.
This was her first role.
Yeah, okay? She wasn't much in there, but it was an interesting role.
It was weird.
Her brother and her...
Yes. Yeah. And she said, it didn't. The fee didn't matter to me because it was enough to get her into the SAG-AFTRA union.
That's right.
Which means more for opportunities in Hollywood.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And she said she booked 6 movies after Bridesmaids.
Yeah, within 2 weeks, I think she writes in her book, she had 6 acting gigs.
She said she was able to bump her Pitch Perfect 3 by the time that came around to $10 million after Universal Pictures originally were going to only offer her 9. And she said, you know, I want 10.
Good
I want
you.
10.
Good
she wanted to make 8 figures.
She was great. In
wow. She was great. And she just said, you know, well, this is something I think we talked about she's fat, Amy, in the Pitch Perfect movies and how her agents did not want her to lose weight.
Right.
Maybe you can lose 10 pounds, but really, we sell
you're
you.
You're in this niche.
You're in this overweight woman niche. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, parts are, people want you, obviously. And so she said that was really hard for her because she really wanted to go on this health, be healthier. And so she just said people thought, you know, if you lose weight, you're not going to be funny.
Are you going to read this book?
I don't know. I'm into RuPaul's right now, which is starting to get a little interesting.
Yeah.
I bet. I bet it's
starting,
so good.
When it was
you think
so,
of everything Ru's done.
It was so out there. When it started, like talking about stars and stuff, and we're getting into some stuff.
Yeah.
He had a.
Is Ru narrating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's good. And now we've been talking about tennis. I just want to bring you to something that we posted today because last night. Kristen Dunst was on with Jimmy Kimmel.
Very funny interview.
Very funny. And she's going to be starring in this movie that's out next week, Civil Wars. And she's married to Jesse Plummett.
Civil War, who's also in the movie, too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a dystopian.
Yes.
Yeah,
just so you know.
So Jimmy Kimmel showed the 3 different girlfriends of Spider-Man and did a meme with the first picture in the meme is her with the original Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, kissing. Mm-hmm. And then next to it is her in a tennis outfit because she was in the movie Wimbledon.
Oh, yes.
In 2004, which is a great rom-com with Paul Bettany and Sam Neill.
Mm.
And then the next picture is Emma Stone with Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. And she played Billie Jean King in Battle of the Sexes in 2017, which was called a sports comedy. And the next picture is Zendaya with the kid who looks like Lemay's son.
Tom Holland.
As Spider-Man, and her tennis movie hasn't come out yet, which is going to be Challengers, which is called A Sports Romance.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny? It's a great meme, and Grant found it today for us and posted as.
How does the internet find things like that?
Isn't it weird? Jimmy Kimmel showed her, like, all of you people who have been making out with Spider-Man have all done a tennis movie.
You all turned into tennis players.
I thought that was kind of cool.
That is pretty good.
She's cute, though, Kristen Dunst, I thought.
Well, speaking of Hollywood, spotted on the set in Atlanta, Ewan McGregor is filming a movie with Anne Hathaway, and based on the clothes they're wearing, it takes place definitely in the 80s because... he's wearing an outfit that just looks like every guy we knew in the 80s and we look like Anne Hathaway. And so here's the storyline, what we know. The name of the movie is called Flower Vale Street. Grant, I'm thinking
that's
you might get
name.
Excited about this because it's J.J. Abrams, the director.
Yep.
It's a secret storyline. It's the 80s. It's making me think the name Flowervale Street of Cloverfield. And if you, Julia, I know you didn't watch Cloverfield, but Grant and I most definitely did.
Yeah.
A wild, twisty J.J. Abrams. You know, he gave us Lost.
He gave us Alias.
Yes, Alias, yeah. Lots of things. So it's this event movie. It's going to be out next May.
An event movie.
Well, just if, when a movie gets the end of May release, that means they're summer expecting IMAX.
Yep.
Something
summer
big.
IMAX. Summer, yeah. Yeah.
And the other rumor could be Sonic Booms, the, you know, big visual stuff. But the other rumor that's part of Flowervale Street is dinosaurs are in the plot.
Oh.
Okay, I already hate it.
I already love it.
I love it. I love every bit of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and
she's...
Ewan McGregor, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, he's carrying a baseball bat. They look kind of scared. It's a J.J. Abrams, and mm-hmm. he is got a good twisted mind.
He does.
And they play the parents, and it's a thriller that may or may not involve dinosaurs.
I love it. Warner Brothers has got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, and she's, in May, we're going to see her playing very sexy Mother's Instinct, her psychological mm-hmm. melodrama that was at South by Southwest that looked very noirish, and it stars, co-stars Jessica Chastain, and then she's the older woman to a younger man, and then she and Michaela Cole play
we
lovers in the upcoming Mother Mary.
Oh, that'll be good.
And Michaela's
the English lady who's, actress
whose show we were obsessed with. The one say I can't think of it.
It was on HBO.
Yeah. It was just a storyline. She goes to Italy and
Michaela, M-I-K.
Michael with a la.
Yeah.
Anyway, but apparently, so this Mother Mary is, you know, they're going to play lovers. So she's kind of going from drama to comedy to India to tent poles. It's a Anne Hathaway resurgence, maybe, as she enters her 40s, you know, not in a whole different way, doing all these different things. So I'm happy for her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because men get to do it all the time.
Yes, yes they do. Yes,
yeah.
They do.
And Ewan McGregor, I haven't watched A Gentleman in Moscow, but I put it on the DVR.
Well, you need Showtime.
I have it.
Oh, bragger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't.
We will be.
Yeah.
I learned
but
a little 10-minute info
things,
because I
so
want
to
watch
have
that.
To just try it.
And that's how I felt about the book. I was reading Steph March's new newsletter called Pickle, mm-hmm. which is fun. And she's like, did anyone watch it? And she loved that book, Gentleman in Moscow. People loved that book. I thought.
People loved it or hated it.
I thought it was like reading molasses.
Yeah.
It was just so slow. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, slow. Anyway,
but also, you know, the other thing you always have to remember, like about a book that takes time or that you need to pay attention.
Yeah.
The time of your life when you read certain books that are in the zeitgeist.
Yes.
You might not have that in you, like to be
patient.
Patient.
I was
like
listening
that.
To it on the way to the cabin. I'm
yeah.
like, oh, hilarious.
Think Something about how much you enjoyed reading The Women because you got to read it on vacation in over a couple days and immerse yourself.
It was so fun.
In the story. I feel like Gentleman in Moscow was like one of those books like you can't read at night for two chapters.
I know, but people loved it. I know,
but maybe you'd like it better if you read it at a different time.
But I'm okay with never having to read that again.
Same. Oh. I'm just going to watch the show, Julie. I'm going to watch Ewan McGregor and the lady he was in Fargo that he left his wife for.
Mary.
Yeah. So I've got Michaela Cole, and it was in the drama series in 2020, I May Destroy You.
I May Destroy You, that's it.
Grant,
that's it. That's a great show.
Grant.
Yeah.
I don't know if Grant, no. I think more women will be drawn to the
99
story.
On Rotten
it
there.
It was so powerful and different and good.
Casey didn't want
right.
okay. too much feelings,
all
maybe,
right, yep.
but I think
a
lot
thing.
Of women would. And
Grant has feelings.
But I know, but I would also say trigger warning with that show, too,
absolutely.
Because of sexual assault.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm good on that, then. I appreciate it, but I'd like to be a little happier.
Grant, I know I'm a TV, what do you call it?
This is going to be another job. Okay.
Yeah.
You're a TV whisperer.
Permission and we're going to come back because Lori's resume is so full right
so
now.
So long, sex Sherpa.
We can't keep up. And she's always
the
good
menu
at.
Menu whisperer.
No, and she's always the good at spotting young talent in Hollywood.
That's right.
She's a talent scout and a PR person if you're okay at me yelling at you.
Right.
That's right. And there's always a market for something, right?
Oh, Lord. I've got to stop.
Oh, gosh. We'll be
Hey, everybody. Lori and Julia here for Minneapolis Anti-Aging and Skin Clinic, affiliated with Minneapolis Plastic Surgery. Their website is mplsskin.com. But, Julia, I just think of you and I, and we just give our 2 cents to people who ask us what we think that they should do. And very often I get asked easy stuff like about age spots.
Sure.
Or things like
yeah,
that.
But I always, we don't know the big stuff.
But I always say, but there's so many advances that get made every year with lasers, with different kind of fillers. And the estheticians at Minneapolis Anti-Aging
and
Skin
the
Clinic
nurses.
And
I
the
mean,
nurses, they have so much experience. And I mean, you thought you kind of knew what you needed to
right.
do, and they
Sarah,
came out a whole
yeah.
other idea for your
They're
issues.
They're so good there. They really know what's going on. Go schedule a consultation. They've got a location in Maple Gold and Golden Valley. You really will love working with the Minneapolis Anti-Aging and Skin Clinic. Thanks for hanging out with us today, you guys. We have...
We're obsessed with Shogun. Just go ahead and okay. say it. That epic show is epic.
Grant, did you watch
oh, yeah.
the latest?
The latest one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Caught it. Yeah.
That show.
It's...
Just watched it last night.
It's...
And it's already the 7th episode, and the things that are coming together,
yeah.
it's like... We don't want to...
I don't want this to end.
I want this to be like 18 episodes.
I do, too.
Like the old days?
Yeah. Well, like Uhtred, The Last Kingdom. Oh, you
yeah.
know, they were like big
they
seasons.
Were seasons.
They were long seasons.
We love mm-hmm. Uhtred.
That was such a... But this show is an epic like that. And Game of Thrones, did we only ever get 10 episodes? Is that all we ever got?
About 10. And then yeah. the last... Didn't they split
they
the last
yes.
two?
Yeah.
But I guess the, you know, this had to have gotten caught up in the writer's strike. I have no idea if it's
yeah.
been... I think what we read when it came out was that it is a treatment, just like the old other miniseries, based a one and done thing on
okay.
James Shogun's book. But I tried to read that book. I might have read that book. But
those
it,
books were
it was
so,
like 1,200 pages.
Is it a Michelin? James Michelin?
No, it is Shogun as Jay Clavell.
Oh, okay. But those
but
books
he wrote
look
these
so
historical
thick.
And it was feudal. But I do recall passing around a battered thing because I remember all the, you know, how it, people were in awe, the pillow ladies. Of, you know, the British guys, Unjin's, how well appointed he was because they gave him baths and stuff because he was a filthy foreigner.
It's so good, you guys. It's so good. Shogun. It's on Hulu.
Yeah.
That's a good, I just.
Well, it's on FX.
And
then
the next
on
day.
Hulu. So, because some
day, yeah.
people, if you've got
yes.
cable, set your DVR.
Mm-hmm. You're right. We
yeah,
watch
cause
it.
Because I have FX, but.
So do I. But we watch it on because we can get 4K.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you. You know, if you watch it through a streamer.
Yeah. yeah. All right. So anyway, that show is really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And the actors in it are so good. And the one guy is in that Haji Giri, mm-hmm. which is a BBC Japanese production crime thriller involving London police and the Yazuko, which is the Japanese mafia. Good
I
show.
Bet you know the name of the mafia in every country.
I
in mean, every
maybe I do.
I think
Julia.
Okay. Let's go through it because
no,
you really do. I swear, from your reading your books in Vanity Fair, you know the name of the mafia in every country.
Let's just say that yeah, every place has
their
a
own
group
name.
Of bad of people who yield power through bad
violence.
Ways
through violence,
violence
and sex
they run
drugs.
And they run
yep.
and they run all the things that people
will pay,
know,
for
will pay for and do yeah exactly but
okay, so,
anyway the new look I watched the finale
which
oh.
is about the World War II about Chanel Dior and it's on Apple Plus I haven't watched it
you know that show just in the last song is covered by Bleachers that's so perfect and apparently the creator of the show Todd Kessel told the Hollywood Reporter he has a long runway plan for the series which has yet to be officially renewed for a second season but the second season would continue to focus on Dior and Coco Chanel and then it would segue into because voila you'll never believe who takes over for the House of Dior after Mr. Dior himself steps down and from watching this
Don't
show
tell me.
No but watching this show I don't think we've seen on television, you know, I don't think we've ever seen anything like living in Paris and, you know, the all the ways when you're an occupied city. And, you know, France folded so fast.
So fast.
Yep. The Vichy government, you know, just folded like a... Which is interesting because, you know, the other TV show that's getting promoted is Franklin with Michael Douglas playing Benjamin Franklin, who seduced and worked and persuaded the French to support the Americans in the Revolution War. We couldn't have won against the Brits without it. You know, so it's interesting, like France had, you know, was strong, very, very strong at one time. But in the 40s, whoever was running France just folded. So I don't think I've ever seen anything where see the pain in that way from having to live under this occupied of the Nazis who are so intimidating.
And that's where I had when initially I thought it was kind of hard to watch because you're right, Lauren.
We have never seen
and the choices you would make. Being occupied and just,
and then
you
finally
still live there coinciding, but you're not.
But
you're,
it gets so bad that you have to resist because if you don't resist, everyone's going to die. And people start drawing these lines because
it's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
But it's great acting. It's great.
Great acting. And then you've got the fashion thing. So, you know, that, you know, tempers the, but it's another way of never forgetting what happened.
Right.
Is the other thing. So, but I'm happy to hear that. And we find out something.
We're talking about the new look, if you're just joining us. It's so good.
And Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones has, you know, she's
everything as Catherine.
As Catherine Dewar, but she's also, you completely forget she's the Game of Thrones girls.
Oh.
With this role, it takes her into adulthood, and we find out a wonderful thing, you know, about, I won't tell you, but about the perfume, and it's all so sweet, and if you're interested in reading about Catherine Dior, who is, you know, French resistant fighter, and went to Ravensbrück camp for like 2 years, there's a biography called Miss Dior, and it's about her, but it was so... wonderful.
Oh, good. I've been. Oh.
And
Grant, have you started that?
No, I
know. No, no.
This is not for Casey Grant. Likes it.
I know, but right. Casey likes history in a way that. But I just have one more thing to say. Who took over for Christian Dior? Yves Saint Laurent.
Okay, there we go.
Wow.
Before he has his own house, that's who takes over the House of Dior because the House of Dior is still the most.
You gotta stop talking.
Right, we're out of time.
He's paused everything. I'm seeing alert. All right, we'll be right back.